Welcome to Growing Up Punk, the podcast about punk rock and all of its friends. My name is David, my friend is Aaron, and today's episode is Aaron sitting down with Damien and Felipe of the band The Requiem to discuss their new record, A Cure to Poison the World, which came out back on February 16th earlier this year. But before we get into it, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Go follow us on social media at Growing Punk Pod. You'll find us on Instagram and you'll find us on X. You'll also find us, I think, on Facebook. That may or may not be true. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, if you enjoy what you hear, make sure you tell your friends about the show. You subscribe, you rate, you review, all of those good things help the show grow. Without further ado, though, let's not waste any more time. This is Aaron chatting with Damien and Felipe of the band The Requiem.
Yeah, so why don't we start with you guys just stating your name and what you do in the band.
I'm Damien, vocals.
I'm Felipe, I play guitar.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, and you guys said you're from Florida?
Yeah, mm-hmm. South Florida.
Yeah, sweet. Well, you guys, you don't look that old, so I'm curious to kind of what got you guys into music and, maybe with some of the bands that first inspired you and how did you kind of get into pursuing playing music?
You can go. It's okay.
Okay. I was going to say, I've always been into music because my family used to work as promoters and my dad was a manager for a couple of bands too. But it was all like small bands from my country. And then I think one of his homeboys got me a guitar when I was like six. And I think that's when I started learning, but I didn't really look at it as like a viable thing or something that I was ever going to get really into until I moved here. I started getting into more bands that were like from the underground of here. Like, I guess now they're not so much underground, but like around that time it was Barrier, Sworn In and bands like that. So that got me really into wanting to do screams. And so I started learning how to do that. And then on, I went back to like my roots, which were like From First to Last, Mike Him, The Used, and Drum Dead Gorges and stuff like that.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, how about you, Philippe?
Yeah, so growing up, my dad was a drummer, and I'd get like dragged to like his band practices and stuff. But I grew up in like a musical household, and very early on, he put me on drums. And then I think I was like around 10 years old, and I told him like I wasn't really feeling that, but I was always more drawn to like guitars. So I got a guitar for like my birthday, I think, and I didn't have many friends, so I would just like practice and learn as much music as I could at home, like, you know, surrounding school, sometimes more than like homework and stuff. But I don't know, I kind of went through a lot of the, I don't know, like the rabbit hole of like media that alternative music had at the time growing up. Mm. So like, obviously like the early 2000s, like, you know, there was a lot of video games and movies that were using like, I don't know, like Linkin Park and like The Used, you know, a couple of games that I'd play, like Burnout had like From First to Last and stuff in there. So I was always drawn to like those styles of music. And then as a musician, just like rabbit holed into other styles that are unrelated, like, I don't know, like death metal and like classic rock to like jazz and stuff. So
that's really cool that both you guys kind of came from families where you could see firsthand kind of what it looks like, you know, to play music or, you know, be at shows. And because I think for a lot, or even for myself, like I grew up in small town and, you know, didn't have a lot of that stuff. And I'm 40, so I'm probably, you know, a bit further along than you guys. And so even just, you know, not having streaming and all, you know, access to stuff. So that's awesome that you guys kind of are starting with this foundation of kind of having some, you know, idea of what it means to play in a band. How did you guys kind of come together?
I guess we all kind of like were around the same scene. Originally, I didn't know Felipe, but I knew Salem, our bassist. And I think that Felipe was working with Salem on a song. And then Salem thought it'd be cool that I helped Felipe to work on some of the solo stuff because he had instrumentals that he needed vocals for. And as soon as I heard his work, I was like, oh, this is incredible. Like, I have to have this kid in this band. So like, I hit him up to work on one day, and we were like, why don't we just use these songs for the band? And he was like, oh yeah, I'd be down. And then he joined, and from then on, he started like writing most of the instrumentals that we did. And I'd go over to his house, lay down some vocals, and it would always be like, for us, it would always be like the best shit ever. So I think just around the time we did Course Party and Funeral. Salem I've known since like I started going to shows. I think the second show ever that I went to in this local scene, I met Salem. So I've known him for a while.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I met Salem at a guitar center because he was working there at the time. And
yeah.
I played a riff that he thought was cool, and he came over and said hi.
Yeah. Man, I always love hearing these kind of stories because, you know, it's either, usually it seems like, you know, it's like childhood friends, or it's just like meeting someone online or like this, you know, in a store. And so how does that, you know, because that's when you don't really have that same kind of history together. Is it hard to be like, hey, like, let's start a band and pursue this thing kind of as one entity, even though you don't maybe know, you know, is the people's personalities as much? Like, is that kind of a hindrance or intimidating, or you just kind of going for it?
I would say not really for me. The first time I met Salem, I thought he was cool, and I knew that he was someone that I wanted to even just be friends with. And then when I found out how good he was at music, he was the first person that I always wanted to produce with and mix with. And then eventually when he asked to join the band, we were like, dude, fuck yes. Like, I'd love to work with you. And Felipe, it was pretty much the same thing, like an immediate like connection, because he's also Chilean. That's where I'm from. So I was like, oh, dude, we have to be in this band together. Like, and on top of that, we just have like really good chemistry and songwriting. So everything has just felt very natural. It's like a kind of like a tripod in a way.
So you guys are a three piece. So how does that kind of, you know, work with live shows and, you know, who's drumming or kind of filling out the other parts? How do you kind of manage that? Or what was the decision in staying a three piece, I guess?
I guess it comes more so from the fact that us three write individually, and whenever we get together, like whether it's me or Felipe, Felipe and Salem, or me and Salem, like we always come up with good shit. Like, I think that keeping a small circle of like the people who write the music is very essential. But we have our insanely talented friend, Alex, on drums. He's like the best drummer from South Florida, in my opinion.
Alex, we've like known for years, and he's kind of plays in a lot of other bands. He has for years, but yeah, he is like a good friend of ours, and he's playing drums for us right now. And he also tracked about like half the record as well.
Yeah,
for guitar, because we do have another guitar live, but we actually just have that tracked because we play to a click. So
yeah,
for now, that's how we're doing it until we find somebody that naturally that kind of, you know, would fit in the same pocket that we're in.
Yeah. No, that's cool that you guys can make that work. I mean, it's, you know, that's a viable option to, you know, get a friend to hop on for shows or whatever. You know, you can send tracks back and forth, and yeah, so that's sweet. So how did that, you know, how did you guys kind of coming together, realizing, you know, you liked each other's styles and coming up with the ideas, how did that turn into, you know, signing with Fearless Records and kind of getting an album together and kind of making this, you know, more official than just friends jamming?
Well, before this band, I was like trying to do hardcore and combine it with like nu metal energy, kind of like a lot of the bands from like 2014 and 2015. But that was already like a very quickly dying thing. And so when I saw that I wasn't even that good at doing that, I just kind of wanted to do other types of music. And one of our previous band members, he asked me to start this project with him, and we thought that doing emo music would be like the most natural thing to do, because it's like that was like the roots of like our interest in like heavy styles and alternative music. So we just kind of started fully indulging into that. And funny enough, around the same time, artists like Machine Gun Kelly and like Bring the Rising started getting bigger, and then also around the same time, bands that we consider like our peers, like Static and Sea Space Cowboy, started doing really well within the like scene. So we thought, then this is the perfect time to do this music. Like, it's like a perfect coincidence almost. And so when Felipe joined and I think it was the same thing. Like, we all just wanted to do what felt most natural and what we thought would be the most fun music, disregarding whether it was in trend or not. You know, it was just much more of a perfect coincidence that it was coming back in trend. And then I think Fearless, our manager had been talking with some of their A&Rs for a minute, and they were playing Magic the Gathering one day, and then he told them to check out our music, and he checked it out, he loved it, and he was like, okay, yeah, we'd like to work with this band. And they've been great. They're really cool people.
Yeah, it's cool to again hear how, you know, connections can kind of happen a bit more naturally now than, you know, like when I was coming up in music and playing in bands, and like, it just seems like it's, I don't want to say easier. I mean, maybe it's easier in a way just because you can get your music out a bit more easier and kind of get it in front of people. But at the same time, you still have to have something, you know, that's unique, and that when somebody hears it, it's like, oh, I want to work with that band. So that's awesome. Yeah. Fearless is a great label, and I'm sure they'll do great things for you guys.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful. I mean, most of their roster and most of their alumni roster is like some of our favorite bands and the bands that we grew up on. So it just felt like the natural pick to go with them.
Years prior too, we also had spoken with a couple other labels, some small, some larger, and some good conversations and some bad ones. And out of all of them, like the one we had with Fearless just like really felt right. Like we just connected with them instantly. So.
Yeah, sweet.
But I was going to agree on the fact that it is a lot easier now than it ever was. Like it's so easy now because there's a market for everything too. Like it's unfairly easy.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the process might be easier, but you still have to have, I mean, obviously, you know, the talent and the drive and the willingness to work at it, right? A bit, you know, and so it's, I guess easy in a way, but at the same time, that comes with, you know, the agreement that like, okay, like you're actually going to do something with it. And
yeah, now if you're trying to do something timeless or something actually good, then you have to put the work in it. But there really is a market for everything. Like one could hop on a track and sing pee pee poo poo over 100 times and there would be like 100,000 streams on that shit.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting time for music for sure. Well, yeah, I want to hear about the album title and artwork. I always like, that's something that I'm drawn toward. And so I always like to kind of hear, you know, the story behind, you know, why an album is titled, why the title that it is and the album artwork. So what inspired those two things?
Cure to Poison the World was the name of our first song ever before we did the rebranding and everything with this band. And I think that it was just such a cool title for the song. And then we're like looking for titles for the album. We thought it felt naturally also kind of like a homage to the fact that we were named differently in the past. We put two odes to that in the record and in the interlude, L'Exquisite Dolor, and then in the title of the record, A Cure to Poison the World. And also there's this loose concept within the record that lives around the idea of this drug that is being passed around by like the government to like or like a evil organization to like a bunch of like depressed people, and it's the cure to poison the world because it kills you but like it makes you happy while you're dying, kind of like a very like a Brave New World type of deal. The meaning of the butterfly, I guess it's more so from like the idea that like every little thing can affect everything, kind of like the butterfly effect. So, and also just, it looks sick. I mean, we always wanted to do something that was reminiscent of like the older records that had like very specific thing going for them. And like a butterfly was like a reoccurring thing that we thought, hey, maybe we could do a little differently with the bones inside. And that was really cool for us.
Yeah, definitely stands out. You know, there's something about just a single kind of striking image. I mean, there's so much you can do with album artwork, but when you have just kind of one thing to grab your attention, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. What was the recording process like for this album? Like, do you guys record all together? You know, kind of a bit more old school, or is it more separately and kind of sending stuff back and forth? I'd love to hear kind of how that process went.
Yeah, so our writing style has always kind of been like, I don't know, one of us will have an idea and then we'll present it to the other ones. And then I guess whoever can like hop on to working on it the soonest, that person will hop on, and then we'll flesh it out a bit more. And then the third one comes and puts their input in it. And then we kind of just like together, like reevaluate, you know, the song and work on it. And some songs just kind of fall into place a lot quicker than other ones. Cursed was one that like I think in like two sessions was like pretty much written to how you hear it on like the album, and that was done here like in my room. Then there's other songs that kind of needed a little more work and that we kind of fought a little bit more with, but that did end up turning out really great. Like Diary was in pieces when we went into the process of recording the album. So going out to Jersey, we had a lot of songs, more than what's on release right now, but we ended up sitting with Steve and choosing what really felt right for this album, you know, in the loose concept that we had and that we explained, but also like sonically. And then we began to like put together like a rough sequence. And I think week one of recording, because we were in Jersey for 5 weeks doing this album, we played as a live band and record it as a live band. And then we tracked over that piece by piece. So then drummer would record over that with, you know, his performance, and then it'd be like guitars and bass, and then like vocals, and then additional production things. Like if we had piano on a song, it'd be piano, and then any other dubs and stuff. So, but it was really nice. It was a cool process. It was new to us because we are part of a generation of musicians who really just work from our rooms and work like fully digitally as well. And Steve, being a bit more old school, had more of an analog approach to things. And he put a lot of emphasis on committing the sounds that we choose, as opposed to how normally nowadays you kind of just select it for like your project, and then you kind of revisit and reamp, or like, you know, go through touching up and getting things a bit more corrected in post. So
which Steve was that?
Steve Evitz. Dillinger Escape from Moon, Senses Fail.
Oh, that's I wouldn't have guessed him. Like your album has a very like crisp, polished sound to it. Which, I mean, his production is really good. Usually, it's a little bit more kind of raw. Like you just did, you know, the new Stretch Armstrong EP, another band from Florida. I'm not sure if you know that band, but you know, so yeah, that's cool. How did you guys? Was that a Fearless connection with him?
Not so much. We wanted to work with someone like him because we wanted a raw base material at least, and we wanted both like the raw like tracking and production of like a producer of his caliber, and then we wanted, you know, kind of like the mixing and sound of someone like Kyle as well. We did the mixing with a Kyle Black.
Oh yeah he's awesome. Okay, well that's so, yeah, that maybe makes it where the polished kind of sound comes from. That's a good combo.
Yeah, we wanted to kind of like, you know, bring the best of both worlds in a way, and I think we kind of accomplished it in a different way, but it's still great. I think for me personally, it was probably the best time of like my recent life. I had a fucking blast, and Steve is great. He put us onto a lot of stuff, and I personally learned so much from him. So it was a great time.
Yeah, man,
yes, a crazy learning experience for sure. It was awesome.
Yeah, was there anything that kind of stands out from that time, like one specific thing, you know, maybe that you learned or experienced or a piece of knowledge, something that you'll kind of carry with you forward?
Yeah, doing the way that he does vocals is like something that I'll forever take with me. He doesn't look for the perfect take. He looks for the right take. Mm-hmm. Like he was saying, like, he didn't really care for it to sound perfect. He just wanted it to sound with intent and for it to sound like power, like with emotion, powerful with emotion. So that's probably what I'll try to do every time I track vocals now. And I think that aside from that too, it was kind of like boot camp in a way, because it was like with Felipe back at home, we would do a song in like 2 hours, we would have all the vocals done for it. With Steve, it would take like 6 hours of just takes over. And it was because it was, again, trying to find the take that felt the most genuine to the song. And I think that is a really cool way to approach vocals. And he wouldn't only just say it because, you know, he would also bring the example of like, oh, like Greg Puciato, like he'll just fucking grab the mic and just start yelling like a fucking animal. And I was like, I don't know, just all those little things from behind the scenes that I've never like really known about before, especially about artists like that, that really motivated me. And then eventually too, we were very lucky to get invited to hang out with some of those people. We hung out with Jerry Cantrell and with Greg Puciato at the Alice in Chains I think it's called Jerry Cantrell Experience, right?
It was something, yeah, it was Jerry's like tour of Alice in Chains outside of Alice in Chains, but yeah, like Greg on vocals.
And so we got to meet Greg, and he, you know, basically reiterated what Steve would say is like, you know, you have to do like basically putting blood on the tracks in a sense.
What a cool way to kind of start this kind of new phase of the band, you know, starting with these experiences and knowledge and opportunities. That's awesome. I wanted to state that like this album immediately grabbed my attention. And I state that because, like, I listen to a lot of music. I check out a lot of new releases. lots of stuff can just kind of, you know, kind of all sound maybe the same, even though I like a lot of music that kind of sounds the same. But I was trying to think before we started this call, like, where I first saw, like, it was probably, I don't know if it was on a Facebook page or a release list or something where I saw it, and so I added it to Spotify and listened, and yeah, just immediately grabbed my attention. And so, yeah, good job on that, on being able to kind of create something that, you know, is dynamic and diverse. I had seen, I think, like in the press release that I got, that, you know, some of the, maybe, I don't know if it was influences or, you know, some bands that, you know, maybe you sounded like. I saw AFI, Taking Back Sunday, maybe The Used, My Chemical Romance. And I mean, I like all those bands. I've listened to all of them. None of them are like my favorite. And again, I'm honestly not saying this to like kiss your ass or anything, but I like your album a lot more than those bands. I mean, since your album has come out, like, I've probably listened to it, you know, 5-10 times, even before I kind of knew I was going to talk with you guys. That's what kind of made me reach out to your manager and be like, hey, like, are these guys, you know, still available for the podcast? And so, yeah, you know, there's just something about it. It's, you know, it obviously has, you know, throwback elements to it, but it also sounds fresh and kind of inviting. And, you know, like you kind of mentioned, there's a bit of resurgence in the kind of, you know, like, whatever you want to call it, emo, pop punk kind of stuff. But while there's a resurgence, I don't know that there's a lot of bands doing it super well. Like you mentioned Static Dress and Sea Space Cowboy. And, you know, I know there's kind of a handful of those bands doing it. But I'm kind of curious, like, with this sound, you know, how do you kind of hone all those influences in and create something that isn't just, you know, recreating ideas, but adding a fresh kind of sound to it, if that makes sense. Like, how do you kind of put all that in into your scope of things?
I would say it happens. And first of all, thank you for all the kind words about the record, man. It really means a lot that you like it. I mean, we're still surprised of how well it's been received. And we're just very, very happy with that. So thank you. But to your question, I think it comes from the fact that all those influences that we've mentioned, like Taking Back Sunday, AFI, Mike Ham, The Used, From First Last, I would say those are like, are just natural influences. Like, those are the things that I personally, and I know Felipe too, like, we grew up on. Like, I learned how to sing by trying to sound like Burt McCracken. I learned how to sing by trying to sound like Sonny Moore and like Gerard Way. So, like, it's more of like a natural thing. So the true influences that I feel like we have, where they really come from, is from other styles, like especially a lot of this record. It had a little bit of Iron Maiden, because me and Felipe love Iron Maiden. We're both Chilean, and in Chile, Iron Maiden's like messiah, so we definitely wanted to have like Iron Maiden sounding riffs in the record. And also in songs like Before I Go, we really try to tap into our like Spanish influences and making it sound as like old timey as possible, kind of like a Quentin Tarantino soundtrack song. And then I think with other songs in the record, there's a lot of like much more of a punk vibe, like The Offspring, or I would say the Rise Against, or like Sum 41. Like, I think it's just a mix of everything that we grew up on combined with some of the outer influences that we wanted to bring into it. And I think as we move forward, we'll probably try to hone in more and more on the few things that have come out that we've done that are like truly ours, and that we felt like haven't been done as much before, and make those things more theatrical.
Yeah, I think that pretty much like sums it up. Like, naturally, I think, as we were like saying earlier in the call, just we grew up on like listening to a lot of those bands. So I don't know, when like, I think when both of us sit down to write, like, a lot of these ideas just kind of like are naturally in, like, I don't know, for me personally, it'd be like in my muscle memory, just from like as a kid playing a lot of these songs. So, you know, a lot of it just becomes kind of like intuition in that sense, and it's not us like sitting down to intentionally try to recreate like anything in particular, but to rather just make, you know, music that it's, you know, something that we would have enjoyed listening to growing up. And like he was saying as well, there's so many other influences that extend outside of the genre as well. Like Iron Maiden. And I think what also like is like important to note as well is that a lot of these bands also grew up on those influences as well. So like us having the same influences as some of these other bands that like were in the genre way back in the day when this was new, like completely new. Also just attributes to the writing style that we have now. Yeah. Because yeah, like I would not be surprised if like Ray Toro from My Chem like was influenced by Iron Maiden as well. Like that's a band that like, he probably grew up listening to and learning as well. I was put onto it by my dad. So it's like, you know, it's cool to see like generations such as myself and like newer ones that are yet to come who are going to have access to all this music and are going to be influenced in so many different ways as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's one of the reasons why your album stood out. Like when you mentioned the kind of punk and some of the metal, like that's more the music I'm into versus, you know, kind of the more kind of emo screamo stuff, which like I said, I listen to, I don't dislike it. But I just, yeah, as I'm listening to your album, like I just love hearing, you know, whether it's like the riffs or just like the punchiness of the drums or like the soaring vocals, like all that stuff just plays into it. That's, you know, maybe, again, I'm not trying to, like, crap on other bands, but sometimes I just find some of those bands, like, just a little too, I don't know, what I would, like, kind of be, like, sappy or moany, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's not, you know, maybe, I don't know if I'm describing that right, but, you know, there's a good vibe and good mood to, like, the darkness of the music that isn't, like, I don't know. What, I guess maybe just emo. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for, you know, where it's...
Yeah.
Sure. You know, so anyways, that's just my random feedback on it. But yeah, what is the like the local music scene like where you guys are from? Like what's the opportunity there for playing live or opening for bands? Like have you guys had much opportunity to kind of get that exposure yet?
Not much as far as the local scene, but we're already like set up to be going out on the road pretty soon with bands that we really love. And I think that what you were mentioning about like our record having more of like a metal and like type of feel, I think it comes from the fact that our local scene is so like heavy. Even outside of the world of like heavy music, the other styles of music that come out of here, like the rap scene is like a very heavy rap scene. Like I think like all the rappers that started screaming in their tracks, like X and shit like that, they all came out of here from Broward. And then the biggest scene right now at the moment in Broward is like the hardcore scene. So I think that's where we kind of get like a little bit of more of like that edge from in a way, maybe. But that's also the reason why we haven't been able to play with many bands, because not many bands are like within the same sound that we're in here. The majority are just way heavier. So it just, it would be very like funny to play with those bands and have everyone in the crowd just standing like this. But I mean, there's still all of our best friends are in that scene, you know. Salem comes from that scene, he's still part of it, and I was always a fan of that scene. I was always part of the show, so I think we've played a couple of shows so far mixing with bands that are more of like the outliers of the local scene. Our most recent show was with our friend who's a DJ. He's like a hardstyle DJ in a way. And then our other friends in a band that sounds like Oasis. It's like a very, very cool band. So those are the type of shows that we've been trying to do as of recently, more of like a mixed bill type of thing.
Is the hopes to like to be touring either full time or part time, or like what's kind of the goal with that?
Oh, full-time touring for sure. We definitely want to go out on tours that make sense to us, though. Tours with bands that we like really connect with and that we can see ourselves looking back on it and being like, yeah, that was a great tour. I think that this year the two tours that we have so far are going to be pretty fun, but we're still looking for other stuff to go out and do. Like we just really want to be out as much as possible.
Well, I think you guys, I mean, what a cool kind of privilege to be able to you know, to be signed to Fearless and to have kind of those connections where, you know, you can kind of have, you know, those better tour opportunities. Like, when I started touring, it was just like kind of taking whatever you could get and just touring for months and months at a time just to kind of get your name out there. You know, this was more kind of in the early, you know, like 2005 era. And so, again, it was a bit different than now, but that's awesome. If you can kind of have those goals and kind of be able to meet them pretty quickly without, you know, maybe having to grind for, you know, years and years. And, I mean, there's good things about that, but at the same time, by the time you kind of get the opportunities you want, you're already exhausted. And so it's kind of a weird thing, but, yeah, that's awesome that you're kind of able to get some of those opportunities.
To be fair, like some of these first tours that we're going to do are also kind of grindy in a way, because they're not huge bands, either of them. They're just more bands that like we kind of like are peers with. One of the tours we're doing is with Risk Me Razor.
Okay.
And so that's a band that we just really fucking, we love their look and the way that they approach their music. So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of more of like a run that just makes sense. Like I don't see it being a huge tour, but it's going to be like just perfect for us as like a first tour. And I think majority of the first tours that we'll do will probably be like that, you know, but we definitely want to do that as well, just to continue on like the kind of organic path that we've been going, that like it everything has happened, you know, just from the fact that we see things we like in the internet and people see us, and then that's how we reach out to each other.
Well, and it's cool when you know, again, with streaming and social media, there's so many more opportunities to like make different connections and new connections. And I mean, there's some downsides of it too. Like I didn't have that when I was touring full time, and you know, some of that would have been nice to have, but at the same time, it's, you know, you kind of only know what you know. So, you know, you just kind of take the best and deal with the worst, I guess. I wanted to, talk about, I picked kind of three of my favorite songs on the album, if that's cool, to just, kind of course, go through those. And, so the first one is the opening track, This Is How the World Ends. Again, this, immediately caught my attention. I think it's probably the fastest and most energetic song on the album. immediately grabbed you, that opening track. And, what can you kind of share about this song musically and lyrically, and why did you choose this song as the opening track?
We chose it as the opening track because it was the first song that we wrote for like the idea of us wanting to do an album before we were even signed. And so it just felt natural to be the first song on the record because it was the first that we worked on that was ever going to be on the record. And I think musically, like we wanted it to be like the fastest track in the record just because it's like, the idea was to grab the attention of the listener off rip. And the idea too was also so that in the ending of the last song, the same lyrics of the beginning are recited.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't notice that.
It could loop. And it like, it goes from that like super climactic, like sappy, sad song at the end into the same, like, you know, like the fast song in the beginning. And I think the lyrics are just like, I don't know, I was kind of imagining like a very early 1900s like murder case or some shit like that.
Yeah, instrumentally it was also just like super, it came together pretty quickly as well. That song I think we wrote in a couple of days, like tops. And I remember like sitting down to write it, like I definitely felt I wanted it to be like quick, and I wanted it to really, I guess, capture the essence of like just shit I grew up listening to and like playing like a lot of games too. I was like, I don't know, a lot of like the metalcore from like the 2000s was just a lot more energetic, and it had like, it just kind of pulled you in, and you really felt it when you test it with media. And sometimes like as a writer as well, I'll do that. Like I'll write ideas and I'll play them as I play a game. And if it feels right, like sick, then I know like this is kind of what I'm trying to do. And then if not, then you know, then maybe I'll go and like rewrite something. But that was a song that like definitely felt like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
awesome. I agree on the early metalcore sound. I remember the first time like that we had that song finished, I was like, it kind of reminded me of Atreyu a lot, and it's like some of the verses parts, but the chorus was like emo enough to where it made sense with the rest of the album as well.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say another funny thing about those songs, the title of it, we just had it in the first lyric of the song, This How the World Ends, but then Salem thought it'd be cool to call it This How the World Ends because of this one underground movie that we all like. It's by a director called Greg Araki. So it was kind of like a little hint to that as well.
Yeah, right on. The next one is Curses. Man, this song is so catchy, you know, the way it just soars through the chorus and, you know, kind of pulls back during the verses. It's got great dynamics and really takes a listener on a journey. I mean, this song is constantly stuck in my head, and I love this one a lot. Well, yeah, how did this one come together? And
Yeah, this one was an idea that Damien had. He kind of had the chord progression, and he had like the melody for it, and he came over to write one day. We were like, we're just gonna write, and he presented it, and I kind of helped flesh it out a little more and like translate it into a bit more of like an arrangement. But again, that one came together like supernaturally. That one took like I said earlier too, like took like I think like 2 days. And that was like 1 day tracking and writing instrumentals, and then the second day like recording him on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like that was like that song was really fun to write, because like we I remember we wrote it and we were so hyped on it because it was like exactly what we were hearing in like our heads.
Yeah. It's awesome when that works out.
Yeah, it's being able to finally like translate like what you hear in your head like the way you wanted it to, really cool.
Yeah, I think that as much as I love the entirety of the record, the two songs that I will forever like be so proud of being able to be a part of are going to be Cursed and Before I Go. And with both songs, I felt this sense of like immediate joy after hearing it back and throughout the process of writing it. It was just like, dude, this like I'm this so fun like that we're getting to do this, because I think that you only get few songs in your life where you can really say it's exactly how you were hearing it in your head, like Philippa said, like that is what it felt like. It's such a rewarding feeling. It's almost like a high. It's really good.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, as a musician myself, I know that feeling where it's just like, you know, translating from the head to the hands or the voice or the mind. It's like sometimes it just doesn't work how you want, but when it does, like, man, it's such a good feeling. So yeah, that's rad.
Yeah.
The last one is a Diary of a Masochist. I love the energy to this song as well. A great opening riff. It's got a really good in your face vocals and drumming. As a drummer myself, I noticed that there's some double kick on this song. I don't know if there's much on the rest, but I love that part. It definitely took me back to older From First to Last and even some Seosin. And I'd love to hear kind of how this song came together.
Yeah, so this one we had like I think the main riff, and then I think like a very loose structure of the chord progression between like the verses, and the chorus was like just one that I had like shelved like forever, and I think it was one that we always tried to fit into songs and it just didn't really work, and I was like, okay, it'll fit at some point. And when we got to Jersey, we kind of like we worked on it a bit more because we didn't have any drums written for it, I don't think. We ended up writing it like at the BMB. I think Salem wrote the drums, if I remember, like just on the laptop. And Steve helped with really fleshing out the bridge as well. Like he had a pretty good hand in the writing for that song as well, because I think what I had for the bridge was a very basic idea of what it now is. And so Steve kind of helped with, I guess, evolving the progression into something that was a bit more what is the word? Kind of just like the way the bridge grows, he kind of just really helped make it feel that way between all the different production elements and the harmonies and dubs on the other instruments that we tried.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and even just briefly, I'd love to hear, like, there's a few songs on the album that are, you know, definitely kind of slower, more ballad-like. How do you kind of find, you know, writing, creating those types of songs versus the really high-energy ones? I think it creates a really, really good listening experience, you know, kind of gives a break in between. And even if it's not the songs I'm most drawn to naturally, I'm really enjoying them just because, you know, there's lots of cool elements to it. So how do you kind of put those together? Because I think that's kind of, I mean, there's lots of, you know, heavier bands that, you know, kind of have similar kind of songs, but I felt like these ones were kind of pretty unique and how they kind of fit the overall vibe of the album.
Well, with Two Lovers Left Alive, which is like the fully stripped down acoustic one in the record, we had that song for such a long time. It was just one song that I wrote when I was like, I had this crush on a girl. I was just really felt like vulnerable enough to write a song about it. And I hated this song for the longest time because of how much everyone else wanted it for us to put it out. Cause I thought it was like too sappy, but I think I only feel that way because it was kind of like, you know, me being that way, but I've always loved soft music more than heavy music my entire life. So I think this song kind of, we drew a lot of inspiration from bands like Smashing Pumpkins and like even a little bit of like early Radiohead and shit like that. So I just have to get over the fact that it was me being sappy. And I think the one that really drilled it in for me was Steve. He was like, shut up, this is a great song. It has to be in the record. Just let it happen. And I was like, okay, but, and now I'm really happy with it. I think it's a favorite of a lot of people, surprisingly. And we definitely want to make more music that's like that in the future because it's kind of a challenge in a way to make a song that is so broken down still carry like as much emotion and as much energy as songs that are faster and in hype. I think that it's a very cool thing to do within a record because it gives the record a moment to breathe and it also gives the record a sense of that it's not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah,
and it's open to being diverse, both emotionally and sonically.
No, yeah, and I love how those, you know, how two very drastic styles can fit together and create something cohesive, and that's a really cool thing about music. Yeah, kind of in closing, what does, you know, kind of the rest of the year look like? You mentioned some, you know, some shows or tours. You know, kind of yeah. Do you have much of the year mapped out yet, or are you just kind of taking small steps right now?
I would say half of the year is already mapped out, just tours and stuff like that. Me and Felipe have been trying to write the next album already. I think we have one demo done, and he has a couple other instrumentals. I have like four other songs that I have like fully written out in acoustic that we just have to translate to electric. And I'm also, we just started doing the concept for the next record. I'm writing this whole like story for it. And yeah, hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have all those demos done. And then next year, we can start tracking the next one.
Yeah, right on. That's exciting. Yeah, anything else that you want listeners to be on the lookout for? Or where can they find you guys and track you down?
Yeah, you can find us on all socials at The Requiem Band. Yeah, we have a lot like planned for the coming future. And so probably the best way to stay in tune would be to just follow our socials.
Yeah, awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat and share about the album. I'm, yeah, like I said, really excited about it and looking forward to listening to it again and seeing what the future has in store for you guys. So, yeah, keep up the great work.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having us. Nice to meet you. We'll be right back.
Yeah.